a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire. It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
We've got ranks. We've got lots of ranks. We've got news, and we've got an actual expert on the show today. Welcome to the Razzball Fantasy Basketball Podcast. And by expert on the show today, I don't mean me, and I don't want to be rude, but I don't mean you either, Slim.
What are you trying to say?
But we've got Joe Dexter on the show of Pistons Powered. He's a Pistons expert. We're going to talk everything Detroit. We're excited to have him on the show, and we're excited to have you here. You know, it's a sad world out there. Slim and I were thinking about some fun ideas to talk about, and everything in the world is just depressing. So let's talk about fantasy basketball, which is a lot less depressing, and is certainly less depressing than getting ready for fantasy football when your whole team is going to be injured by week three. So how you doing, man? You pumped for the season? You excited some ranks are coming out?
Yeah, I'm really... doing some number crunching. It's been fun.
Yeah, I hear you. If you haven't checked us out yet, Slim on our official 200 ranks, which you can get to on basketball.rasball.com. Go over to ranks, official 200. It's the top one. It's pretty easy. Slim's putting in his 9 cat prediction along with his minute predictions on everyone's ranks. And that takes a lot more time and a lot more math than I'm good for. I'm more of the writer. I do the easy stuff. I put down some words that sometimes make sense. Slim does the actual numbers. So I appreciate that. I think we work well together because I think you prefer to do the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call writing 2,000 words the easy part, but they're different.
Yeah, that's true. I'm like, I think I'm around 3,000 and I'm around 43 or 44 in the top 50. So It's certainly fun, but I mean, it's what I like to do. I like the writing. So, before we get into the ranks a little more hardcore, let's talk a couple news bits since we've last been on. It's been a couple weeks. Looks like Kevin Love for sure is going to be traded. That is, unless Adam Silver waves his humongous schlong and annexes it because he's got all the power. But it looks like Kevin Love is going to the Cavaliers, going to be playing next to LeBron. That's going to bring Wiggins into Minnesota. What are your thoughts on that trade? Who gets the big impact?
I think they all get some nice numbers. We've talked about the Cleveland side a couple of times. I mean, Love, his number's going to come down just because he's not going to get the ball as much, but... You know, LeBron's going to be there and Kyrie and everybody, so it's going to be a fun team to watch. The offense is going to be crazy. How well they defend, that's still to be seen.
Very true. It's going to be a Cleveland's going to be a tough team to beat. I think that's kind of a easy analysis there. I am interested, though, about also part of the trade is it looks like Thad Young is going to be going there to the Timberwolves. I don't have Thaddeus Young in my top 50. I don't think it's a good change of scenery for him. He was really thriving there in the 76ers offense. How do you think Thad is going to look in the Minnesota green, teal? What would you call their color? Teal?
Oof,
green?
Sure.
Something like that. Aqua? Aquamarine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think he'll be as good as he was in the Sixers because they just let him do whatever he wanted. Didn't really seem like there was much of an offense per se going on there. But, yeah, I don't think he's top 50. I mean, the steals were way too high. I think those are going to come down quite a bit.
Yeah, 2.1 steals a game last year. It's hard to see that repeating.
I'm assuming he stays at power forward.
Yeah. So how is their lineup going to look? It's going to be Rubio, Kevin Martin, then Thad at the 4, Peck at the 5, and Corey Brewer still playing wing.
Yeah, I think so. He got paid a decent amount of money. Wiggins can come off the bench and still get 25, 30 minutes without a problem, playing two positions. And when he's in, they're going to tell him to do whatever he wants. He's going to be super aggressive, I think.
Yeah, so what do you think Wiggins' minutes are going to be?
I think he'll push 30, maybe a little bit less in the beginning and more at the end.
Wow. And
if Kevin Martin goes, then the minutes are going to be big.
Interesting. You have just stimulated my Wiggins half-mast.
I think I like him a little more than Parker for fantasy this year.
Interesting.
I'll probably be in the minority there, but
yeah, and we'll talk defensive stats. We'll talk more about that in ranks, I'm sure. What was I gonna say here? Oh, what about Gorgui Dieng? I wish he had gotten a starting opportunity, and he might because Petkovic always gets hurt. But how many minutes do you see him playing behind Young and Peck? Because I mean, he can't be playing more than 20 minutes. You don't think, do you?
Yeah, there's no way. I don't see him and Petkovic being on the court at the same time.
Yeah, me either.
That's really slow.
Yeah, it's sad. I thought Dieng looked great last year towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I just don't think he's a two-position guy. I think he's center, and that's it.
Yeah, I agree. So if Petkovic gets hurt...
I don't think the Wolves are done dealing, though.
What's that?
I don't think the Wolves are done dealing.
Yeah, I mean, we're still pretty early in the offseason. We're just we're jumping the gun here with our ranks and everything. Yeah,
it hasn't even happened yet.
I know.
Remember that Chris Paul trade?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Any Lakers fan remembers that trade.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that trade was the right. That was kind of like the love trade, as in like the writing was on the wall, but it wasn't necessarily official. I mean, we didn't know where Paul was going to go, but I don't know. I agree that the Wolves are still dealing. It just I think right now that starting lineup's pretty set.
Yeah, it's not a bad team. They're not going to win many games, but they'll be entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean,
Rubio should have the ball a lot, you know, a lot more than he did before. He could be 100% of that offense.
And that's where I was going too, is even with how anemic he is shooting the ball, he is fun to watch with how he probes, is a buzzword ever since Steve Nash did his thing. So two guys looking like they're signing 1 year tenders and staying with their teams, Greg Monroe and Eric Bledsoe. We'll probably just table most of our Monroe talk for when we've got our Pistons expert on later, but I don't know. I'm concerned about Bledsoe. I don't buy too much into motivation changing people's, you know, performance, and maybe he'll be more motivated to get a bigger contract, but I just think IT2 is going to take more minutes from Bledsoe, a lot more so than Dragić. And that's why I like Dragić so much, which we'll get into the ranks a little bit later. But how concerned with you about how annoyed Bledsoe is with the Suns front office?
I'm not that much. I think he's going to sign his 1 year deal and his usage is going to be through the roof. I don't think he's going to ever give the ball up. I just think he wants that big payday, and the way to get it is through stats.
Are you concerned at all with his injury history? He got a little banged up last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's keeping him out of the second round. So, you know, he's more of a third, maybe even fourth, late third round guy because of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I am too low on him. I've got him in the 40s. So I might need to reconsider that. I don't know. I feel like
there's risk, so
yeah,
that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, he's got as much upside as anyone. His multi-cat, you know, he was getting blocks before last year.
Yeah. 25-5 type.
All right, so one more thing I wanted to get to in news, because I keep, you know, skipping around ranks, and I want to – that's what I want to spend our main first portion on. But I just want to talk about Paul George injury. Luckily for him, no ligament damage. Sounds like – I mean, everyone knows what happened. It sounds like he's going to be fine for 15-16. So, I mean, I'm just hoping he can be the player he was and this doesn't, you know, derail his career. But for this season, I'm actually pretty interested in Rodney Stuckey as a, you know, 11th round pick. You know, I don't know what ADPs are going to look like. I have a feeling he's going to be a really interesting sleeper.
Yeah, there's going to be some points that someone needs to score on that team, and it's not going to be George Hill. It's not going to be Hibbert. So.
I was about to say, it's definitely not going to be Roy Hibbert.
Yeah, they're really trying to get rid of him, too.
Yeah, I know.
But the offers they've done are stupid. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no one wants Roy Hibbert on their team. How much do you think David West can have an interesting scoring season? I mean, he only scored 14 points a game last year?
That's down.
That's shocking. Do you think he can get back up to 20? Wasn't he around a 20-point score in his
the year before, yeah, with some good steals. Yeah, I mean, I don't. He's getting a little bit old. I mean, he's going to have to. Someone has to. So
yeah, that's what
I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be watching out for that efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
There could be some forced 20-footers.
That's going to be a really, really rough team this year. I mean, what is percent chance do you think that the Pacers make the playoffs? Or no, percent they don't make the playoffs. I'll say over under 20% that they don't make the playoffs.
It's probably more than that.
Really?
Probably 50-50 at best. That team is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hibbert comes back to being, 15-8, that's not going to happen. But I don't see where they're going to score. They're going to be 70-point games, and it's going to be tough to watch. There's no point guard. Tough team.
Yeah, I agree. If I'm watching any NBA this year, it's probably not going to be Pacers games.
No.
All right, so let's transition to the ranks since they're coming out now. That's going to be what we're going to talk about for a while. But they're brand new. They're on the tip of our tongues. I'm just going to let you. I'm going to let you drive because I'm the one putting out the ranks, and you've obviously got your disagreements, and just start hitting me with your biggest disagreement so far in my top 50. Right now we've only got the top 20 out. I've got my top 50 pretty much done. I'm still finishing up the article, but Slim's got them in front of him. So drive the ship, drive the boat.
And the last thing I talked about in the comments was the 13 through 18 run of bigs. So after that's the big point guard run, right?
Yep, and I've shuffled in a few guys in it. Mostly it was moving Dragic and Irving up a couple spots and keeping Kawhi right there in the high 20s. But
I think I would probably draft him before one of these point guards, especially if I get someone like Chris Paul or what's his name, Stephen Curry in the first.
Well, that's true. And I mean, that's the kind of tough thing with ranks is, I try to kind of think about where you're going to be in draft position, but you never know until you're in the actual draft room. Because, I mean, someone's going to take Kobe Bryant in the first round and just throw everything off. And you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm with you there. I would certainly draft Kawhi ahead of Kyrie and Goran Dragic if I got one of those elite point guards, but let's say for the sake of argument, you got someone like Harden, and then you got one of those bigs, and you're looking at your third round pick, and it's, I don't know, I guess this would have to be a 10-team league, and you've got your boyfriend, Damian Lillard, or Kawhi Leonard on the board. Who are you taking?
I'm not passing up the point guard in the third.
Okay.
Can't do it. Can't go three rounds without a point guard.
Would you take Kyrie ahead of Kawhi? In that situation?
Yeah. Gonna need the assist so badly. He wouldn't be my first choice. I've got Kyrie at the end of the point guard run. I think out of these second round, early third round point guards, he's probably gonna be the lowest assist guy of the bunch.
Mm-hmm. And while I don't really disagree, but my argument and my post that I'm writing up now, where I get kind of more in depth, is I just see his percentages going up. I could see him having a Goran Dragic kind of season, and that's a guy I want. I think the turnovers go down a tiny bit. With the assists going down a tiny. I don't know. I posited that the assists would be at 7, and that's probably too high. You've got him projected for 5.2 assists. That seems a little low. So I don't know. I don't think
he's going to have the ball in his hands as much. And he wasn't really that high of an assist guy to start with.
That's true, but I think instead of those ill-advised shots, they're going to be dump-offs to LeBron with a dribble shot.
Yeah.
Could happen. what else you got? What else are some of your big disagreements? Let's get into the rest of these top 50 here, so we're teasing out something that people haven't read yet.
All right. You got Michael Carter-Williams at 26.
Mm-hmm.
Super high.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope he drops at least a round or two farther than that so I can get him.
Not in my drafts.
In the punting free throw team, he's a big target of mine. He's perfect for that punting free throw team.
And
we talked about a couple times.
I don't want to get into it too in depth, but there's been a lot of conversation in the comments about punting categories. I'm not a big category punter. If I'm drafting Michael Carter-Williams, I'm getting other guys that are probably pretty good free throw shooters. I don't want to have him. Like, I don't know. Andre Drummond is a guy I do like this year, but all your other usual suspects, Dwight Howard, DeAndre Jordan, those are guys I'm not drafting.
Yeah, I mean, you still have issues with the Blake Griffins of the world.
That's true, but it's not as pronounced with him.
There's a fair amount of poor free throw shooters in the beginning of the draft with Cousins, Millsap, Horford, Jefferson, Griffin.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone's going to punt it. There's going to be at least one person doing it.
And I'm sure that's true. I mean, last year, what was Millsap a 73% free throw shooter? I would have figured he would have been better. I don't know. I just had to look that up. Yeah, I mean, I know someone's going to do it. It's just, I don't know. I've never been a punter in fantasy basketball. I've really never been in any fantasy sport. I just, I mean, obviously, especially in Roto, because if you're punting there, then you have to be so good in your other categories to make up for it. And head-to-head, it's not really a big deal because you can build around it every other week. But I don't know. I like the chance to win every category if given the chance.
Yeah, but I like guaranteeing winning 4-5 of them. You just have such a big advantage during come playoff time if you have 3-5 categories you can't lose.
I just feel like...
Then you're only playing for one or two categories.
I feel like if you punt, you're saying, I'm definitely losing this one. But if you have three or four that you can't lose, there's going to be a week where I still think you might lose them if you hit the wrong team at the wrong time.
Maybe. I mean, it's head-to-head, so lots can happen any given week.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't know. I like punting field goal percent. I did it in the REL, and, you know, sometimes my guys shot well, and I won it. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't planning on it, but sometimes it happens.
And I mean, that's the thing with... punting field goal percentage is such a variable stat, but if you're punting free throw percentage, I mean, if you draft Dwight Howard, Andre Drummond, and... You know, who else is, you know, and...
Rondo and...
Yeah, and I mean, and you're saying to yourself, okay, I'm definitely going to win blocks. There's going to be weeks where some scrub comes along, like Paro Antich or something, if Horford gets hurt and gets, like, 5 blocks in a game, and you're like, ugh! But...
Yeah, when you punt, you got to go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go 150% on every category.
Mm-hmm. And then... But then I don't know. I don't know. I just, overall, my impression, I've just never been a punter. I like having more balanced teams. And so, I don't know. I really don't have... I just like to have more balanced teams. I like the opportunity to have the 9-1 wins more often than being the for sure 6-3 wins. Anyway, who else do you think is someone that we're really far apart on in the ranks?
You got Lawson at 25. I've got him as one of the top point guards. I got him a little bit higher than Lowry and Rondo and Kyrie.
Interesting. I mean,
those assists, those are big assists that really came up last year. Plus, he's pretty efficient he traditionally was pretty efficient. He had those injuries last year. If he bounces back from those injuries, he could be a top five point guard, six point guard.
Yeah, and I think a lot of struggles for him came in the change of regime. I mean, he finished only 43rd last year in overall value, according to Basketball Monster. I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with high turnovers. He had 3.2 a game last year. Sometimes
the field goal percent was low for him.
Yeah, shot 43%. And I think that was a tiny bit low, but not necessarily that high against his career norms. I like Ty Lawson. I have a feeling me at 25, and if you're even higher, he's going to be on a lot of our teams. I have a feeling his ADP is going to be closer to 30.
Oh, you bumped Bosch ahead of Vucevic.
I did. I recently flip-flopped those. It surprised me. And I'm trying to think. I think it was total value. He finished top 20 the past 2 years. That blew my mind. And I thought me having him top 30 was going to be really bold. It seems like enough.
It's hard to organize efficiency, like, for those, you know, Basketball Monster rankings. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you know, what formula they're using.
I tend to like I compared it during season to ESPN and Yahoo, and they're all fairly close. I'm not the mathematician, but it seems like their formulas are give you at least pretty comparable results.
Yeah, those two right there could get their own post, Bosch and Vucevic.
Mm-hmm. I think Vucevic is going to be really underrated.
I'm favoring him. I really am.
Yeah,
love them rebounds. He's a big time rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
And, pretty efficient.
His offensive game is a lot more polished than I think people give him credit for.
I mean, if you go Ibaka, a point guard, and then Vucevic, you are set at bigs, and you're going to win free throw percent pretty reasonably. Yeah, I like Vucevic a lot.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I put Bosch ahead is I look at their stats, and Vucevic is going to get me more rebounds. And, you know, everything else looks pretty equal, except for I think Bosch is going to hit a three a game and give you a little more upside.
Yeah, I dropped his threes a little bit just because I don't think he's going to sit out there as much.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's going to have to be 15 feet back to the basket just so they can do something with the offense.
Mm-hmm. His career high was 0.9 a game. That happened last year. Before that, his highest was 0.3, I believe. So,
It's a relatively new development.
Mm-hmm. And
I think it was strictly based off of LeBron.
Yeah, me too. It's funny too because I don't know. Obviously, newer memories stick harder, but I seem to remember Bosch always camping near the perimeter. But I guess that was just how the Heat played lately.
Yeah, opening up for LeBron to drive.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple more minutes here. Who are some of my other crazy picks? I know one you're going to want to talk about, I'm going to guess.
What, Jabari?
Yes, I knew it! I knew that's where I'm going. I think I'm a little crazy, but I think I'm going to grab him top 50 if I can.
Fourth round, huh?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Imagine he's going to be small forward / power forward eligibility.
Uh-huh.
I have his numbers kind of low.
You do.
There's room to grow, but I think the efficiency is going to be rough to start off.
He's
not a great free throw shooter, and the turnovers in the summer league were obsessive.
It will definitely be a work in progress. You've got him projected right now at 2.8 turnovers a game. I think that's a little high. I think the one assist a game's low, and I think he'll play closer to 30 minutes, or closer to 32 minutes. You've got him at 30 minutes. Your percentages look right. You've got him pegged for 46% free throw, or 46 field goal percent, 76 from the stripe. That sounds about right. I think he might hit three a game. I don't know. I just think he's going to have this is going to sound really, really lame, but a Kawhi Leonard light kind of season with more turnovers and not the assists.
Okay. That's a lot of steals for Kawhi to be.
Maybe the steals too. That's why I said light. Light means less.
Very light. Like caffeine-free.
I like that. I'll just call him caffeine-free Collie for the rest of the season. And that'll be his nickname. That
alliteration sticks. Is fun.
All right, we'll get into more ranks on our next podcast, and we'll get into some of the deeper guys, and we're going to talk ranks for another month, 2 months straight, so we'll have plenty more to talk about. And we're proud to have Joe Dexter, writer of PistonPowered.com. It is a, obviously, Detroit Pistons site, if you couldn't figure that out. Really happy to have him on the show. I have an actual expert on the show. That's news for us. How are you doing this morning?
Not too bad. Hey, we could be writing about pistons and engines. I don't know. You never know.
Very true. I know so little about cars that that's news to me that a piston's part of a car. Nah, I'm just kidding. So how are you? You excited for this upcoming season? How do you think the Pistons are going to do this year?
You know, it's exciting to see the rebuilt front office, and I think that's got all Pistons fans excited. You look at what Stan Van Gundy brings to the table, and if you're not excited to see Piston basketball, just to see him coaching on the sideline with some young talent on the team, then you probably shouldn't be a Piston fan, because after the last few years, it's been a struggle. Andre Drummond's been in the league for – what, 3 years, and he's had five coaches. So, you know, that's the type of thing that has us excited, is some continuity here in Detroit.
And with Stan Van Gundy, what does he mean for fantasy? What is he going to do for the Pistons team?
You know, honestly, I think having Stan Van Gundy in Detroit's not good for fantasy wise for players, just because he's a rotation type guy. He's a depth type guy. You look at, like, I don't know who in the heck would draft Brandon Jennings just because he's crazy. but if you were to draft Brandon Jennings last year, per se, you know that he's a Jekyll and Hyde type player, and you know that he's going to have some outpour nights with 25 points and 12 assists. That's going to happen. But now in a system with Stan Van Gundy where he brings in a DJ Augustine, he's going to lose minutes. The Andre Drummond's probably going to improve inside, and the three-point numbers for Pistons players that will be in fantasy – will improve when you look at Jody Meeks and players like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, because last year this is a team that averaged more two-point scoring plays than any other team in the league, and also was just struggled on the three-point line. So from that perspective, it'll add on the wing for players that are possibly drafted in leagues. But other than that, Stan Van Gundy's kind of a nightmare for fantasy owners.
Which is a shame, too, because Slim and I, we're big KCP fans. He's awesome to watch. I actually watched your finale last year against OKC and saw him have that 30-point game. That was awesome. And he tore up Summer League. I really wish he had gotten a starting opportunity. What kind of minutes are you seeing for KCP there?
You know, with his defensive prowess, the way that he played last year in his first year in the league defensively, he wasn't consistent offensively, but defensively, he brought so much to the table that I think that's going to favor him with Stan Van Gundy, a guy that preaches defense more than anything. So that gives him kind of a look at possibly down the road, he might be the starter during the season for the Pistons at the two guard. And without having a real small forward on the roster besides Caron Butler, we might even see him play a little bit of time at the three. And you mentioned his outpouring in Summer League. If he has that type of confidence going into the season like he did, having all the plays drawn up for him pretty much in Orlando, if he has that type of confidence, he could be a big-time scorer in this league. I think maybe next year he's going to be an exploding player for fantasy owners out there. This year it might be a type of player to sit back and watch and see what he can do offensively, because we just don't know what he brings to the table. He's not going to be a three-point shooter, so he's not going to bring that to your team, and he's not very efficient so far, it seems, but this is a heck of a playmaker, and Pistons fans are excited about him.
So you're saying that KCP in Dynasty Leagues is a good guy to have, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you can get this guy cheap and hold on to him, and you look at next year, if you're looking ahead and stash him on your bench, you're going to have some opportunities probably this year And you never know, he might explode into a 12 to 15 point per game player this year if he gets the opportunity. And the next year you have him out there and he's a guy that can really perform. Maybe fantasy-wise, he's not an explosive player, but still a guy that might have a strong future.
Yeah, I'm a proud owner of him in our REL league. It's Razzball Elite League. It's a 20-team dynasty we play with the Riders and Readers. Hey, Slim, do you want to trade me Damian Lillard for him now?
Not quite yet.
Come on. Pull the trigger.
I brought Joe on just to try to organize that trade. No, I'm just kidding. So Greg Monroe is going to sign the 1-year tender. I think he's a really good player, but there was something you mentioned in our team preview interview. Just a little preview. We've got team previews coming out. I'll probably have that interview up this weekend. But something you mentioned in there was really interesting. You said that you think Josh Smith is going to be the sixth man. I hadn't really heard that yet, and, you know, we're pretty far in the offseason. Is that, like, in stone, or is that just what you're thinking?
It's just something I think that might happen down the road, especially when you look at the qualifying offer that Greg Monroe gets. It'll put him in an interesting position. If he really wants to play and he wants to prove that he deserves a monster contract in the offseason and he fits into Stan Van Gundy's system, he's going to get a lot more playing time and he's probably going to start alongside Andre Drummond. But when you look at the defensive issues that Greg Monroe has when it comes outside of fantasy basketball, I think that Stan Van Gundy favors a guy like Josh Smith in there at power forward defensively because he's a guy that can go get blocks. I mean, at small forward last year, he was horrible. Don't get me wrong. He was horrible, but he still finished in the top 15 in blocks per game. He's still a defensive type dynamic player that can really help on mismatches with stretch fours taking over this league. And so when you look at six man opportunities, I think that it's a really good chance that he could fit in that role. Again, just like Greg Monroe having to buy into Stan Van Gundy's system, anybody that plays for the Pistons now is going to have to buy into that system. And we don't know if Josh Smith will. There's been reports that he is excited to be coached for once, is what he said. Yahoo Sports' Adrian Wojnarowski had that pretty much right when Stan Van Gundy took over. But you never know with players in the NBA and guys feeling disrespected. But I really think Josh Smith could be a fantasy value or a steal late in the draft if you believe that he's not going to shoot 15,000 threes. If he can stay away from that, he can really be a dynamic player at the NBA level. And then fantasy-wise, I think he could be a type of guy that you can fill in spots.
That'd be really interesting if news comes out that Josh Smith is going to come off the bench, because I think people will see that at face value and be like, oh, can't draft him, but it might actually end up helping him. So that's interesting. Interesting thought. How do you like the Jody Meeks signing?
I really like the deal. Honestly, for me, I think the one issue that the Pistons had all season last year was three-point territory and spacing the floor. They were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league, finished 28th, and they have to have that spacing, and you have to overpay a little bit for a player like Jody Meeks. But, hey, under 3 years, it's a contract that's respectable, and here's a guy that really knows how to fill the cup if he gets the basketball and gets an opportunity. You look at his numbers fantasy-wise, and they match up exactly with J.J. Redick, another player that Stan Van Gundy was able to mold into a defensive-type player. Not necessarily a best defensive player, but a guy that couldn't guard anybody turned into a respectable defensive player under Stan Van Gundy. And I think Pistons fans are hoping that we see that from Jody Meeks. And he's a guy that can fill. Well, I don't know if he's going to play some small forward. He's small for that position, but he'll definitely fill some time at the two guard. Has an opportunity to start. There will be competition in training camp with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for that spot. But he definitely brings an added edge to the Pistons that they quite frankly need.
Yeah, and 1.4 steals a game last year for Meeks. I remember the year before, he was a good guy to stream for steals. You're talking to me about Stan Van Gundy preaching defense. I think he'd be a really good guy if you're lacking steals. Slim, do you got anything for Joe over there?
Yeah, do you really think Stan Van Gundy is going to let Josh Smith just kind of throw it up, or is he going to bench him if he starts being the old Josh Smith?
I'll tell you what, I'll be throwing my remote control at the TV if Van Gundy doesn't bench him. I mean, that's it's something when you look at what Josh Smith did last year, it's one of the worst performances 3-point wise in league history. I mean, it's just, it was unbearable to watch. And I think when it comes to accountability and Stan Van Gundy, the one thing we know is that if you're not going to follow the system and play the way that he believes is the best way to win, he'll either A, now that he's in power, he'll either get rid of you or just stash you on the bench. He's not going to take a player coming in and jacking up shots. So for players like Brandon Jennings and for players like Josh Smith, it's either embrace your role and learn how to get better at that role, or they'll be out of town.
I got kind of a loaded question for you here. First, I'm going to give you over-under on Andre Drummond's free throw percentage. I'll set it at 45. And follow up from that, do you think teams are going to start doing hack a Drummond, and or is he going to be benched late in games if it's a close game?
I'll take the over barely on the free throw percentage. I mean barely.
That'd be an improvement, though. 41.8% last year.
I know. I'm optimistic. You got to be optimistic at this point of the year. I mean, right?
Exactly.
So you look at the Hack-a-Shaq type Hack-a-Drummond situation, and with having the depth that they will next year with Greg Monroe and Josh Smith, you got to wonder if that is a possibility. But they did the Hack-a-Dwight thing as well with Stan Van Gundy. It didn't really change things. I know Dwight Howard's a way better free throw shooter, but the one thing that I think that you're not going to see them get away from is having Drummond in the game. This is their dynamic player. This is their franchise player that they're looking to build into something really special and to be the cornerstone of their franchise for the next 5 to 10 years. So when you look at what they're going to do with Andre Drummond, this is a year where – you know, winning is important. It's always important with Stan Van Gundy. It's always important to put your best on the court, but it's also important for him to set a standard for his team. And if you don't have your star player in the game, late in the game, and don't teach him how to get through those issues and to improve those issues, then you're not doing things right. And I don't see Stan Van Gundy saying, all right, we're going to sit him here in the fourth quarter, unless they're in a playoff hunt. But you never know. I really think that Andre Drummond's going to have a great fantasy year as well, despite the free throws.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. I'll leave you with one last question. I like asking people this. Tell me about your Pistons fandom. You grew up in Pistons land. You became a fan. What's the deal?
Well, started when I was real young. I'm a Michigander. I was born in Muskegon, Michigan, not too far from Detroit, a couple hours on the west side of the state. So gotta love the Pistons. Grew up and watching them and seeing them grow into that 2004 team is where my fandom really built, and I've stuck with it. I'm a huge basketball fan. And you stick with your teams. That's just the way it is, and no matter what happens. And I stuck with the Pistons through the tough times, and hopefully the good times are right around the corner. And I think that it's exciting for Pistons fans to have a front office now that is respectable, one that you know isn't going to make horrible decisions for the future of the franchise. And that has me excited as a Piston fan.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I almost said joeing us.
Hey, I'll join you anytime.
This is Joe Dexter. Follow him at Twitter, everyone, at Joe Dexter. Very easy follow there. I'm at JB Gilpin, so we're both pretty easy. And read his stuff on pistonpowered.com for everything Pistons. Thanks again for joining us. That was great. And we look forward to you being our Pistons expert throughout the year.
Alrighty. Thanks, guys.
All right, and now let's get out to the movie theaters. Let's see what's coming out this week. The Giver. Did you read that book as a kid?
Never heard of it.
Oh, you never read The Giver?
No.
I'm excited for it. Yeah, it's a young adult thing, but I mean, I read it in like elementary school, and it was cool then. I don't know, but it I think it could be a cool movie. I like Jeff Bridges. I'm assuming he's the Giver, because the Giver's an old dude. So you know what looked funny but has an awful review right now is Let's Be Cops. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be awful.
It sounds like it's got a pretty good potential to be awful.
Yeah, it does have good. It probably has more potential to be awful than good. I will concur with you there. What else has come out recently? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie has a 20% Rotten Tomatoes. I refuse to see it because the first one, as in like the first live action one with Elias Koteas, that movie was awesome and was a big part of my childhood. I refuse to see Michael Bay.
Is that the one with Vanilla Ice doing a song?
No, MC Hammer did songs.
Oh, Hammer, there you go.
Yeah, he did the credit song. I don't know if Vanilla Ice had enough talent even for that movie.
There's something with Vanilla Ice and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm gonna have to look that one up.
Maybe he did something. I don't think he did, because I mean that movie came out in like 89 or 90, and Vanilla Ice wasn't out quite by then, I don't think. Maybe he was. Everyone's talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, and it's getting crazy reviews. I gotta try to go see that.
Yeah, I think I want to stop by and see that one in theaters, too.
Yeah.
I kind of put it off, but yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is we're both pretty busy guys. We don't get to the theater as much as we want, but that's definitely one I want to try to go see. What else you got? What have you been watching lately? Let's just not talk about things we haven't seen yet.
I got a really good show on IFC called Garfunkel and Oates.
All right.
It's these two girls that do musical stuff, but it is hilarious. You must see TV.
How are you watching it? On TV or is it on Netflix? Or are you...
Do you want me to answer that?
No, don't answer that if it's not those answers.
It's on IFC.
All right. That will be one I will hopefully DVR.
Your girlfriend / will enjoy that one too, I bet.
She might, yeah. So, what else you got watching?
Have you seen the previews for the Adult Swim show Black Jesus?
I have not. I will admit I am not as versed on the tunes, on cartoons as I used to be.
No, it's live action. It's a 20-minute live action show.
What? You just blew my mind. I know Cartoon Network had that like children's hospital thing. Was that the real name of it?
I don't know.
I know they did some live action stuff. But anyway, tell me more.
Yeah, it is it's unbelievably racist, but it's just some people can get away with it, you know. Chris Rock does it and you're okay with it.
Yeah.
So it's I laughed pretty hard 3 or 4 times with some of their jokes.
So you're saying
you have to be accepting of it, but it's good. It's funny.
So you're saying that Chris Rock gets away with racism more than Donald Sterling?
I mean, does Chris Rock own a basketball team?
No, but he should.
He wouldn't get away with it.
The Des Moines Black Jesuses, just bought by Chris Rock. I would cheer for that team.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
I'm trying to think if I've seen anything good. I honestly haven't watched anything too new lately. Still watching The Last Ship that I talked about last time. It's cliche written ish, but it's fun. It's got good production values for a TV show.
Yeah, and I am done with The Strain.
Really? Yeah, it looks
hokey as hell now.
It didn't.
It had good potential early, but
didn't look for me. Aren't they vampires? Turn into vampires?
Pretty much. It kind of crosses a whole bunch of different genres.
Are they like vampire zombies? Sort of.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Yeah.
But kind of like the Blade vampire type of thing, Blade 3 vampire. I don't know, but yeah, it's hokey. I'm done.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Black Jesus, it would be Wesley Snipes as Blade. All right, well, I think that's as good a place as any to leave it for this edition. Be sure to, you want to do a pod next week, or do you want to wait another week? I think by next week we'll have so many more rankings up, we could do another one if you wanted to.
Yeah, we can really go into the top 50 once we start getting some kickback from other people, because you've got some rankings that are going to get some kickback.
So you're telling me that our fun love agree with most everything run of our first three or four podcasts are going to start getting into some disagreements.
Wesley Matthews at 48.
Spoiler alert! All right, well, I'm going to try to shoot to get the top 50 up by tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. I should probably get it done by then. I got most of it done tonight. Thanks again to Joe Dexter. Be sure to go follow him at Joe Dexter. Be sure to keep following us on Razzball. We got the top 50 coming out, probably top 75 early next week, then top 100 I'll hope to have done by next week as well. And thanks again for dropping by. Thanks for joining me, man.
Loving all these questions we're getting now. Every single one of them is good stuff.
I know. Everyone's comments are absolutely awesome. Oh, actually, that reminds me. If anyone's actually still listening, shoot me some Twitters and some comments on the podcast if you want a question read on the podcast. We need to have some audio comments going on.
That'll work.
I think that'd be fun. So, yeah, tweet me at JB Gilpin, or I think it'd be easiest if you're listening to the pod, put a comment for the next pod on this pod's comment, if that's not confusing.
Yeah, confused.
Yeah, just put comments on the podcast ones, and I'll be sure to put them up, and we'll have a little question section. So, all right, man, I am off to bed, and you are off to enjoy the rest of your day.
Yep.
Sweet, man. Well, all right, thanks for joining me, man. And everyone, have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Peace.